I just want to talk to you very quickly. And the reason why I say very quickly, because we've been able to accomplish a lot right now. And I don't want you to be weary. I need you to be clear and be able to hear. And so I don't mind picking this up next week when we come back together, okay? Amen. So on that note, I'm still talking about, will the real church please stand up? Will the real church please stand up? Talking about, where are the sons of God? The mature ones. Say the mature ones.
The mature ones.
In the scriptures, some of the scripture references I have used just for context, John 1, 12, 13, but as many as received him, he gave the right, or the power, say the power, to become the children or the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When I read that, I think about the fact that you and I have the opportunity to become sons of God, mature ones. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. There are things that God will allow to happen in our lives to help us to grow and to mature. One of the other passages that we looked at foundationally is Romans the 8th chapter, verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Say the mature ones. It says, for we have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Say, I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Now that means what Jesus has, you have. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. It goes on and says this, though. If indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Say the mature ones. Creation is looking for the mature ones. There's a cry right now for answers. There's a cry right now for the truth. There's a cry right now for light. There's a cry right now for life. And that life is found in Christ. That life is found in the kingdom of God. But one of the things that we have to do is follow God's pattern and principle in order to grow up. It's in Galatians 4. We've read this also, 1 through 7. It says this, now I say, as long as the heir is a child. So you can be an heir of God, but you're still a child. You're still immature. And what does it say about that? He does not differ from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but is under guardians and managers or tutors until the date set by the father. So that's speaking about you and I. I have shared over the last few weeks that I believe that those guardians, managers, tutors are found in Ephesians 4, where there it talks about the five ministry gifts that are in operation. It says this in Ephesians 4, verse 11. He gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping, the perfecting, the maturing. Say the maturing. For the maturing of the saints, for what? For the work of service or the work of ministry. It goes on and says this, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, say as a result. Now it means here as a result of growing up. As a result of maturing, it says this, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but, however, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint supply, by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth, causes the maturing of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's the process. That's what's working. It's what should be working. But it isn't always working, and that's the challenge that many times we have to deal with, and I believe we're dealing with that even now. That we're looking around and we're not seeing the maturity that we need to see in the church. We're not seeing the maturity in the life of the believers. I went on, I think, last week or the week before, and I introduced to you 2 Peter 1 and reading from 2 through 11. I want to read that again for your hearing, because in it, what I've talked about is 8 qualities that lead to maturity in Christ. It says this: grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. It says, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities, say these qualities. Well, what qualities are you talking about? The ones I just read. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are challenged right now because these qualities are not operating in the way that they could be, should be, ought to be in the life of believers. It goes on and says this: for he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into, and I added this part here, the more of the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied. Abundantly supplied. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 12, talks about him supplying every need, having abundance and more than enough. That comes out of living out of this place that I just talked about. Having these qualities evidenced in our lives: diligence, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. These are things that should be evidenced in your life on a regular basis, in my life on a regular basis. If we live in this place, we will find ourselves being fruitful and useful in God. As I've been thinking this through and my own journey of God has a way of pulling us to the side and giving us opportunity to examine ourselves. He has a way of pulling us to the side and saying we need to do a self-check right about now. He also has a way of allowing some experiences, some life challenges to happen in order to help us to identify with where we are really at. And I believe that's where we find ourselves right now. I believe that there is grace to grow. Grace to grow. There's grace to grow. Grace to grow together. Grace to grow. Grace to grow together. If I was to take another subtopic for this teaching, it would be this: ready or not, it's time to grow up. Ready or not, it's time to grow up. Ready or not, it's time to grow up. Say that. Come on, just look at somebody in their eyeballs and tell them. Ready or not, it's time to grow up. Ready or not, Jewel, No, I'm just joking. Ready or not, it's time to grow up. It's kind of like ready, set, no. Ready, set, grow. Ready, set, grow. Now, I don't know the space that you live in. I'm talking about in God, in yourself. But I've had enough experiences of recognizing of how immature I can be. I'm just talking about my journey now, not yours. And I am saddened by them when I look back and realize, man, that was an immature reaction to that situation. It set me back. It caused me to have to go another lap. It caused me to have to go to summer school. It caused me to have to go through it again. And I want to tell you right now, there's grace to grow. There's grace to grow quickly. Because the season we're in, is ready or not, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. That Bible you've been quoting, it's time now to grow up and walk it out and to live it out and see it actualized in the areas of your life where it has not been actualized. I'm saying it's time for us to grow in these areas so that we can be the answer in this world that we're in that's full of darkness, that's full of despair. It's not going to get better. I'm not a doomsday kind of preacher, but I will speak what's real and the truth. It's not going to get better. And if it's going to get better, it's because the saints of God, the sons of God, stepped into their place, spoke the truth in love, and God sets the record straight. See, sometimes you don't have to prove it. You just need to say it. You don't have to do anything. Just stand there. And God says, watch me work. Watch me work. Watch me work. Watch me work. You see, that's exactly what happened in the early church. Jesus didn't say, now y'all go out and try to make it happen for yourself. No. Let's see here. Matthew, Mark, let's see. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. In Mark chapter 16, ending out, it says he appeared to them, to the 11, the 11 of themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. Now, you got to realize that one of the things that Jesus is doing right then, he's checking them concerning their faith. He said, you guys walked with me. I told you what was going to happen, and you still didn't believe it. Those that came and told you. And after he got done rebuking them, he said, now gather around. Let me give you your assignment. He didn't just shut them down. But it goes on and says this. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who believed and is baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's why we need to be bringing people in here like April, who was in here in her wheelchair during the prayer time and oxygen mask on. She was here on Wednesday night. I want to tell y'all something. See, after a while, it can become just so common to you that you just don't even want to give yourself to it anymore. But there are people coming here because they're hungry and because they're dying. And they heard, if you just get there, you get into the presence of God. Anything can happen in that atmosphere. And so the reason why there's a chair missing right there is because they moved that chair so that April could come right in her wheelchair and park right there on Wednesday evening. Her daughters brought her. And I walked right over there, introduced myself, and I said, hey, I'm John W. Stevenson. And I said, who are you? She said, my name is April. I said, April, I'm so glad you're here. She said, you got pretty teeth. I said, thank you. They're all mine. And then I went on to talk to her. You know, people see the strangest things. And so I began to talk to her about expectation. I'm glad you're here. I don't know how long you can stay, but we believe God's going to touch your body. I was so excited to see her in here this morning. I was so excited to see her. Because hear me, church, but here's the part for us as mature believers. We steward the presence of God so that others will come into the presence. Hey, so after a while, it's not about you. That's why you got to move to a place of maturity. It ain't about you coming to get a word. You got a word. I'm coming to add my part so this atmosphere is as powerful as it needs to be. So it eradicates cancer. It eradicates heart disease. It eradicates diabetes. It eradicates and removes everything, anything that would try to show up. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no sickness. There is no disease. Somebody just shout right there. And so our part is to just simply move in faith. Verse 19, it says this, so then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Listen to this. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. Every time. Say every time. Every time we come together, there ought to be some signs that follow. Now, the way that we arrive there is that we steward his presence, we honor his presence, and we get out of the way, and we don't allow time to be the factor that oftentimes we make it. Or again, we're not here mimicking worship. That's why after a while I felt like, no, yeah, I need to put on this CD that I've been listening to. I knew you wouldn't know the songs, but I thought maybe you'd feel the presence. Did anybody feel the presence, or was it just me? Was I just having my own personal moment? I'm telling a couple of them songs, this is where we draw the line. I'm like, hey, somebody needs to be saying that right about now. And you got that, you know, it ain't that soulful kind of groove. It's somewhere else. That's our New Zealand brothers and sisters, Parachute Band. Now, some of you will remember Wayne and Libby. That's who those songs were produced by. Wayne and Libby are the couple that recorded the song for me, You Are Lovely. Now, some of y'all maybe not remember that song, but beautiful song. Just to let you know, they are worshipers of worshipers, okay? Not just going there, but I'm talking about that place of intimacy and worship. See, sometimes you got to pull in some strength from some other locations. Now, I'm not talking about like angels from Africa and stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, y'all. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about when I say that. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So let me close with this. I know we've been together a while and it is warm in here. So just give me 7 minutes. Everybody say 7 minutes. 7 minutes. Okay, how many of y'all give me 7 minutes? Let me see your hand. Come on. 7, 14, 21. Okay. All right. I want to read something to you that I think will be helpful for you as we close out our time. One of the privileges that I do have is knowing people from around the country and other parts of the world. God connects me, has connected us with some wonderful relationships. This book is by a gentleman named Howard Roshensky. Howard Roshensky. Howard Roshensky is the founder. He was the chairman at one time of CCLI, which is called Christian Copyright Licensing International. Howard is a very dear friend of mine. He's a very dear friend of ours. Some of you are not aware that he was the most generous giver in helping us purchase this building. He was the most generous giver in helping us purchase this building. I won't say the amount because we're airing this, but he is truly, truly a wonderful blessing. I had the opportunity to sit on the board of a ministry he established called Presence Ministries. And we would convene and come together for various things. And then that season changed. It's interesting to say that word season because the title of his book is called Perpetual, The Secret to Finding God in Your Seven Life Seasons. So let me tell you what he writes in terms of those seasons. One is the season of preparation, the season of despair, the season of productivity, the season of famine, the season of transition, the season of refreshing, and the season of impartation. Those are the things that he writes about in this book out of his life's experiences. Without going into a lot in the book, I would just tell you that he went through a very, very, very dark season, very difficult season. I texted him last night. I said, Howard, I'm going to be quoting from your book tomorrow. He texted me back and said, that's great. Maybe I should sew 100 copies into the church. I said, well, if you feel led. No, I didn't. I owe you lunch, man. I said, praise God, come on. He texted me back. He said, I can sew 100 or 200. And then he proceeded to tell me how we would do it. What would you prefer? I said, 200. For the rest of the folks that are going to show up. So in a few weeks, we'll have a copy for you, free of charge, gift from Howard Roshinsky. Come on, right now, just say, thank you, Howard. Come on, say it again. Thank you, Howard. Because he's going to see this at some point. He's an incredible visionary, incredible man of God. His relationships span the globe, and I'm grateful to be a friend and to have him as a friend. But I want to read something to you as we end out our time, because I think that this will speak to you as well. And it has everything to do with, ready or not, it's time to grow up. Because you see, the thing that I found about myself is when I didn't understand the season I was in, I missed the opportunity to grow. Because I'm looking at it one way when God is saying, if he'll only see it this way, when it's over, he'll be here versus here. I'm speaking to you now. This is what it says. Caption says, is this just life or just a season? As I reflect back on the period of agony that began almost 30 years ago, I now see that my perspective on life and faith was myopic and incomplete. I had been viewing eternity through the eyes of the temporary instead of seeing the temporal realm from the eternal one. And because of that, I was short-circuiting my life's ultimate purpose by aligning it with and confining it to my circumstances. I had interpreted one specific segment of my life as being my whole life. But that period of agony was just a season of my life. As my walk into the light continued, I happened to read 1 John 2, 12 through 14, which beautifully illustrates the progression of life's journey in Christ. So let me read that to you real quick. 1 John 2, it says this, verse 12, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know who he has been. You know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. That's 1 John 2, 12 through 14. He says, which beautifully illustrates the progression of life's journey in Christ, is this. We all begin as newborn babes. We have no strength, experience, or wisdom. We need everything done for us so we can simply survive. We then progress to an age of greater independence, where we can feed and clothe ourselves and talk and walk with no difficulty. As we age, life turns into a sequence of events and circumstances, listen to this, that requires us to exercise our faith and engage in conflict. Now, that's one of the reasons why I felt what I did even this morning, to engage in conflict. Sometimes you got to get tired of where you're at. And you have to be the one to say, enough is enough. And you got to say, this is where I draw the line. That does come out of a place of maturity as well. It says, and the results of those conflicts, listen to this, will make us mature, wise, and blessed. Or they will relegate us to the chaos of immaturity. This is what he says concerning himself. Great. That passage revealed the shallows of my own Christianity. My personal life report card embarrassed me. How could I, a follower of Christ since I was six, a graduate of Bible college, a pastor and a worship leader, a founder of a global music ministry, and a passionate leader for him, be considered as undeveloped in my Christian faith? It was time for a come to Jesus moment. And I want to submit to us as the church, that's where we're at. It's a come to Jesus moment. And we don't want to miss this moment. I can't afford to miss this moment. You can't afford to miss this moment. We can't afford to miss this moment. He says, as I began to look at my life's journey to date, I saw three keys. First, I realized that my life had comprised a variety of seasons, when events and circumstances had different emphasis. Some of those seasons were pleasant, while others were painful. I wish some of these seasons could last forever, while others couldn't stop soon enough. I realized that it was easy to misread the whole scope of life while being caught up in a single specific season. I sometimes got caught up in the now that I became blind to the promises of the journey towards tomorrow. Second, I began to understand a very important life value, how I respond to and go through my life seasons will determine how I fulfill who he has called me to be. We all go through events and circumstances that profoundly impact our lives. And whatever we may achieve in life is not because of what we went through, but how we went through it. Finally, I had been interpreting my circumstance as indicating God's affection or anger. I had been in a performance pattern with God. If I do good, he loves me. And if I do bad, he punishes me. I had misinterpreted the good events in my life. I had misinterpreted the bad events in my life as being punishment from God because he was mad at me. I couldn't grasp God's love for me until I had children of my own. I discovered a monumental truth. Even if or when my child's behavior breached our relationship of trust, I still deeply loved my child. Their actions did not change my love for them one bit. The love of God is still great towards you. The love of God is still great towards us. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, it says, those that he loves, he chastens. God will bring correction because he loves us. Doesn't love us any less. Oftentimes, it's because he loves us so greatly. Sometimes we misinterpret it, just as Howard. But my encouragement for you and I is there's grace to grow. There's grace to grow together. Ready or not, it's time to grow up. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I thank you.